All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Okay, we'll read through this, see what we can learn. Okay, Paul says here, this is the third time I'm coming to you. He says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, this shall every word be established. And he says, I told you before and foretell you as if I were present the second time. Okay, and being absent now, see, I write to them, so hide the word them there. Okay, the word them, again, he's addressing a certain or a particular situation there, like a personal note. Okay, addressing a situation. Okay, so that's my note there. He wrote a personal note to, or letter to them. That's why he says the word them and not you. He says the word you there in verse 1. He says, this is the third time I'm coming to you, but then he uses the word them, okay, in verse 2, and that's regarding a certain description. Okay, to write to them, which heretofore have sinned, and to all other, that if I come again, I will not spare. Okay, again, he's using his position, apostolic stewardship, okay, for the purpose of directing and giving wisdom to the saints there, okay, in Corinth. Since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, in verse 3, okay, the proof here, not raging power, but by grace, not something of a raging accusation or criticism, okay, but he's giving them direction, okay, concerning their choices, their behavior, their priesthood, things like that. Since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, okay, but is mighty in you, that is as the voice of the Lord. Okay, because the voice of the Lord takes root, okay, by grace and not just by miracles, okay, or outer signs. Okay, or by the precept in line. In verse 4, for though he was crucified through weakness, okay, and crucified through weakness has to do with it, that God himself restricted himself, okay, from the, you could say, from the aspiration, okay, or from the voice of the signature. Okay, God restricted himself, even though Jesus was a carpenter's son. Okay, he did not exploit, okay, the signature, but remain within the confines of his calling. He remained within the restrictions of his calling. At the time when God took ownership of him at his baptism, where he says, this is my beloved son whom I'm well pleased, okay, at that time Jesus set a pattern and a record for our faith from that point on. Okay, it wasn't being born in a stable. Okay, that set the pattern. Or else all of us would have to be born in a stable to be saved. Okay, and it wasn't Jesus being the carpenter's son that set the pattern for a record, or the record for our faith. Or else all of us would have to choose the calling of a carpenter to be saved. See, so we would have, all of us have to be born in a manger. All of us would have to be the children of carpenters. Okay, and all of us would have to follow. That would then be our record. Okay, that would have to be our history, but that's not our history. Okay, the history began at the birthing of the record, which has to do with Jesus rising from the water. Okay, that's when he took ownership of him. This is my beloved son, whom I'm well pleased. So when the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jesus, it led him into the wilderness to prepare this record for us. Revelation, resistance, reward. Okay, this was the record. Okay, the record he prepared for us was to contend with an invisible kingdom. That's the record. Okay, the covenant which Jesus gave to us, okay, the covenant which he gave in himself, okay, is to contend against the powers of darkness, okay, and to establish, okay, a new perception. And that's what Jesus did when he was led of the Spirit in the wilderness. The angel Lord, okay, led him into the wilderness, okay, to be tempted of the devil. Okay, it was there Jesus was establishing a record of this gospel. Okay, as children of God, we, in this record, contend against an invisible kingdom. Okay, that's part of the record. We have to contend for the faith. Okay, so the record was Jesus provided for us. Okay, was setting out this premises. Okay, and giving us just direction and prophetic path. Okay, all those that born of me and follow my record will, number one, contend with the kingdoms of darkness. Okay, and this is what the Apostle John wrote about. Okay, of sin, because they believe not in me. Okay, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and he's seen me no more. And of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Those three things, okay, you'll find those in the three temptations of Jesus. That's the gospel. Okay? That we're contending against the kingdom of darkness. We're bringing an understanding of an invisible kingdom. Okay? And that the knowledge which we give, okay, is removing people from Satan's tether and removing Satan's sowing from the soul of the hearts of the people. You got those three things of sin, okay, righteousness, and of judgment. Okay? So when Jesus was led up the Spirit into the wilderness, he provided a record for us for revelation, okay, from the time of the illumination, to take him out there, resistance concerning the time of the wilderness, that's what we're in right now. Okay, we're in this wilderness of contradiction, and reward. Okay, whereas God will continue to grant us measures of grace for our choices of faith. Measures of grace for choices of faith. And we'll read about that again and again and again in the next chapter here in 2 Timothy. Measures of grace gave her choices of faith. Okay, so when Jesus was led out into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, okay, the conflict and contention had to do with using the aspiration of man, okay, on exercising the principle, okay, to initiate. Okay, what you want. And this was his last temptation. Okay, all these powers, these kingdoms, I'll give to you, Jesus, if you bow to your knee, if you bow to me, Okay, I will inflate and honor your aspiration. I will give you the honor and praise and admiration of man if you just bow the knee to me. Okay. In your signature. So your carpenter's son. Okay, I will make you the best carpenter, okay, in the whole world, as an example. I will make you the glitter. I'll make you the glitter, okay, and the crown, okay, the beauty, the honor of all mankind. Everyone would admire you. See, that's what the beast is going to do, the beast of Revelation chapter 13. Okay, so the three temptations of Jesus, and those three particular areas, okay, which has to that of sin, because they believe not in me, of righteousness, because they go to my Father and see me no more, and of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. You see these three things unfolded, okay, in the contradiction which Satan offered Jesus when God led him into the wilderness. Okay, and that's what we are right now. The record of our faith is fulfilled in Jesus Christ, okay, within these acts, okay, of confrontation. Okay, these acts of confrontation you're going to find in life. Okay, everywhere you turn, you're going to find these acts of confrontation because you're keeping a covenant. Okay, because you're keeping a covenant. So the knowledge which the Spirit is giving you, okay, is going to bring it's going to bring conflict against the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of darkness is going to confront you. Okay, because you're removing people from that kingdom by this knowledge. A new knowledge is being given to remove from that kingdom, see? All right, so here, this is what he's talking about here in verse 4. Right? And the Apostle Paul is reminding them of this reflection and that as Christians, we rehearse these things. Okay, the purpose of our presence within this dimension, okay, is not in the pursuit of the imagination and the aspiration of man. Okay, because when Adam, before he sinned, okay, stood as a son of God, second angel of this dimension. But after Adam sinned, okay, God had to put within him a new power, okay, which has to do with the new power which God put within Adam, okay, was another power called death, okay, and death was going to, okay, demand. Okay, your soul, your spirit, your soul, and your body. It was going to demand those things, and it was going to put upon your body, your spirit, and your soul. Okay, is going to exact from you. It's going to exact from you your time, because you have to sleep. Okay, it's going to exact to you your energy, because you have to labor now for carnal things. Okay, and ultimately, it's going to exact into you, okay, of life completely. It's going to want to dominate you to bring you to hell. Okay, remember, death and hell work together. Okay, so when Adam, after he lost his light, Okay, what now became subject to need. Okay, the first Adam, okay, was confronted by Satan. Okay, Satan was Adam's God, okay, because of need. And every promise, that's what false prophets do, every promise that Satan made to Adam was to resolve this conflict. He says, if you follow me, I'll resolve all these conflicts for you. Okay? But God says, but God didn't, the word of God then came to Adam and says, believe me, if you believe my report, okay, I will be your deliverer. If you believe my word, then I will be your God. But as long as you believe Satan's promises, which works with death and hell, okay, he's going to be your master. Okay? So now, Adam, okay, you are in two kingdoms now. The flesh is in Satan's kingdom. Okay, but your choice of will can be in mine. Okay? So even though Satan can rule, okay, concerning the imagination, but I'll rule your faith. Satan rules the imagination, but I'll rule your faith. So that's why I keep the window of imagination shut, okay, and the door of the conscience pure and clean. Okay? See, that's why we're in two dimensions. See, that's why we have to labor for our flesh, okay, to eat. Okay, yet we have to also labor, okay, with the knowledge of God, so our soul would be saved. Okay, so Jesus being taken into the wilderness, okay, came into a conflict, okay, and he entered into a great contradiction. He ate no food and he had no water. Okay, and at the end of his trial, at the end of 40 days, okay, God having restricted himself of the aspiration, God had restricted himself to his own creative abilities. He restricted himself for the purpose of putting himself in the form of man. So when he was in the form of God, he was equal with God. But then he came into this world and emptied himself, okay, of all the powers of the imagination, okay, and of every aspiration that he had, okay, to restrict himself for the terms of this covenant, okay, which he sealed in his blood. Ultimately, he sealed in his blood, okay? For though he was crucified through weakness, that's what he's talking about right here, okay, he restricted himself for the voice of the aspiration. Okay, and because he restricted himself, he had no beauty of man. He had no beauty that man desired. This is what the prophet Isaiah saw. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, okay, as Isaiah prophesied. Why? Okay, because he did not stand in the honor of man. He didn't stand in the boasting of the Pharisees' shadows. The Pharisees wanted John the Baptist to come into their shadow. Okay, but John, what did he call them? Woe unto you, vipers. What warns you to come out here, you vipers, your scorpions? Okay, what warns you to come out here? The words that you speak paralyze people. Okay, your knowledge paralyzes people. Okay, but when people were coming out to John the Baptist, he was giving them words of hope and of covenant. Okay, and of the and also, of course, the Messiah and the things that be unfolding. Okay, so woe unto who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come, you serpents? Okay, and Jesus carried that theme, because the Pharisees, okay, gave a gospel to the people, which tethered them to earthly affairs, okay, and earthly concerns, and an earthly paradise, okay, and okay, you say earthly thing issues, okay. The gospel of the Pharisees was a gospel of Satan, okay, because it tethered people to the cares of this life. That's why Jesus was teaching his people. He brought them from the city into the wilderness to re-educate them to a new kingdom. When you're in a city, you're under Caesar's law, but now here you're under God's, because I'm here, I'm your Lord, and I'm your God, okay? And I'll prove it to you. So for 3 days, Jesus instructed them to where they were hungry. Okay, and Jesus says, I can't send them away fasting back to the town, okay, because they'll faint away. So I'm going to feed them. And he did this about 3 or 4 times. Okay, he fed the people supernaturally. Okay, so he brought them out into the wilderness to re-educate them, and this is what Moses did. Moses brought the people out of Pharaoh's oath under the kingdom of darkness, under the persuasion of the watchers, the fallen watchers. He brought them into the wilderness to re-educate them. Okay, that the Lord, he is your God. Okay, and the Lord being your God, he will sustain you. Okay, he'll be your refuge, he'll be your fortress, he'll be your high tower. Okay, he'll be your substance provider. I am the Lord your God. I will watch over you to care for you. Okay. So under Moses' stewardship and through the priesthood of Aaron, okay, the people were sustained. Okay. So God was showing and teaching the children of Israel a whole new language, a whole new perception. Okay, and the circumcision which they went through for the 40 years, okay, was you could say very, it was painful, okay, but at the same time it brought it brought focus, it brought peace, okay, it brought confidence to the point where even rule, okay, or Moses' father-in-law, the priest of Midian, even he went under Jethro or Reuel, okay, he had two names because one had to do with his priestly position, okay, it has to do with the priest of Midian. He visiting his father-in-law, he says, "Now I know, okay, that your God is greater than the gods of the Egyptians." The Egyptians always boasted that they had the true God, and that's because of the knowledge which was given to them. The fallen watchers were appearing in visions, okay, to Jannes and Jambres. They were involved. They were involved with this, okay, enchantment, tethering, and sorcery. They were so involved with it that they could take a stick. And it says, "I'll show you we have powers of life, Pharaoh." They put that down there and says, and through their enchantments, this became a living substance. And I said, you just altered the molecular structure, okay, of one element into another by incantation. Okay, God says, "You can do that to a serpent, but I'll do that to your soul." Okay, I will give you a new knowledge that will alter the spiritual molecular structure of the soul. Okay, I'll give you a new heart, okay, by new knowledge. Okay, so here in verse 4, "So though he was crucified through weakness, being restricted, okay, restricting himself from the aspiration, restricting himself from the principle, okay, the perception, the oath and honor of man," and this is what Pilate even admired, okay, "that here you claim to be a king and you're standing before me in such a form of humility. Okay, why don't you defend yourself? Why don't you call down fire upon us?" Okay, this was confusing to Herod too. This was confusing to Pilate. I says, "These people are calling you a god," and then suddenly he gets word that his wife, Procla, okay, had a vision. All right, and then she came. She says, "I have suffered many things because of a dream this night. Okay, that man that's standing before you is greater than all our gods." And he says, "I saw all our gods around him, and they were bowing to him. All the gods of the universe were bowing to this one person called Jesus, the carpenter's son, Jesus of Nazareth." When Pilate heard that, he became very, he says, "Wow, there is something really strange. I knew I felt something strange about this man here." And he says, "Are you indeed a king? Are you a god? Okay, who are you? Okay, and what truth is it that you preach?" In these things, well, he had a lot of questions asking Jesus those things. Okay, but Jesus restricted himself from defending himself, so that the word of the Lord, okay, which was already prophesied would take place before the world was created in the bosom of the Father, that he was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, would be completed. Okay, "If I defend myself right now with my powers or try to convince you who I am, okay, you will definitely stand to my defense. Okay, to defeat these Pharisees and these Jews who want to crucify me." So he had to remain as a silent dumb before his accusers. "So though he was weak through weakness, coming in the form of flesh, in the form of a man, yet he lives by the power of God, which we do now by the covenant. We live by the power of God." Okay. We're living by something that's superior to the imagination, and we're living by faith. Faith is superior to imagination, okay, as truth is superior to the principle. Okay, truth is superior to principle. So we're born again, okay, when we exchange our principle with truth, when we exchange our aspirations for faith, okay, and our imagination, okay, is now tempered, okay, by we exchange imagination and, okay, our covetousness, okay, by the temperament of God's kingdom, by the temperament of the covenant. Okay, so there's an exchange taking place. That's called being born again, by the Spirit and truth. "So yet lives by the power of God, for we also are weak." See, the Apostle Paul is identifying himself, okay, with that same pattern, the same record. Okay? The same pattern, same record. Jesus was taken in the Spirit into the wilderness to confront Satan, the demons, Okay, and also to show that he was superior by faith. And that's what, this is what God has done with us. I put you into an environment of contradiction and darkness and oppression. Okay? And you still choose to love me, okay, over, okay, the voice of your aspiration. Your aspiration wants to stand out to deliver you. Your imagination wants to stand as your God to deliver you. Okay, but when you elect to choose faith in my covenant to be your God, okay, that pleases me. Because the aspiration will lie to you, and your imagination will lie to you. Okay? Because you don't believe the lies of Satan, okay, which promises to resolve all your issues, that's what he said to Jesus, if you fall down, if you bow down, if you worship me as your God, okay, then I will bring equity by lie. Okay? And Jesus says, no, equity comes by truth. Okay? Thou shalt worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Equity only comes by truth. It doesn't come by the lie of the imagination, nor the voice of Satan. It comes by my Father's voice. So we live by every word of God. Okay? Through weakness, yet he lives by the power of God, even for we also are weak. Again, weak. The voice of our ask, because we die and we bind the strong man. The voice of the aspiration is very powerful because we bind him by our faith, by grace and truth and our faith. Okay, people look at you as being weak. Okay, they says, how come you're not like other people? Why don't you defend yourself? Why don't you come forward? Okay, why don't you take the bull by the horns? Okay, and show us your strength. Show us the strength of your imagination. Okay, and then we'll rejoice with you. And when you see the voice, when you see the voice of the imagination, the voice of the aspiration. Okay, or you can say the storms of your principle. Okay, they want to see something. Prove yourself. But when they see that instead of standing up to the occasion for your with your imagination, you just bow the head and fold your hands and pray. And God says, now you're strong. Okay, now you're strong. Okay, and the people, when they see you pray, says, ah, see, you're weak. He says, you're only looking at a form of the flesh, but there's something that's standing right next to me that you can't see that's more powerful than your imagination. Okay, that's God. For though he is crucified through weakness, yet he lives by the power of God. And though for we also are weak in him, okay, concerning the aspiration, but we shall live with him. Okay, that's the angel of the Lord working with you now, okay, by the power of God towards you. Okay, this is a true gift. Okay, this is a true gift, a power. Okay, that which enforces, sustains, answers your prayers, rewards your faith. Okay, he's there right with you all the time. And that's why the Lord says, he promises, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. The angel of righteousness, the angel of righteousness which is with you, represents me. My name is in him. Examine yourselves. Now, this is what I was just talking about. Okay, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Are you standing with me in the power? Okay, or because if you stand with me in power, okay, then your aspiration must be weak. The old man must die. Okay? But if you stand with me with the voice of your aspirations, okay, then I'm not going to hear you. Okay? I cannot confirm the aspiration because the aspiration was not found in the Lamb of God when he was taken into the wilderness. When Jesus was in the wilderness, he had no aspiration, but the angel Lord was with him. Okay? I sustained him, okay, absent the aspiration, and I will sustain you absent the aspiration. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Okay, the folding of the hand and the bowing of the head. Okay, know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. Okay, again, you're absent of the word reprobate, which means absent of regeneration. Okay, absent of regeneration. But you're not a reprobate because God is making you into his image. A reprobate is that of the brute beast. A reprobate is a brute beast. Okay, it acts out of instinct and not out of intelligence. It acts out of instinct. Okay, you're not acting out of instinct. You're acting out of knowledge. You're acting out of knowledge. Okay, your reciprocation to God is with okay, precision. Okay, and is also with faith. Animals act out of the instinct. They respond. Okay, they respond to the environment. Okay, and those which are absent of light respond to environment, circumstances. But those which are in the light respond by grace. Okay. But I trust that you shall know that you, or we are not reprobates. Okay, that is, we're not reprobates regarding our faith. Okay. As in appearance, we are as men, but in heart, we live only by the power of God. We're living by the power of God right now. Verse 7. Now I pray to God that you do no evil. Don't follow after the flow of the knowledge of Baal. Don't follow after the flow of the knowledge of Baal. Because the current, okay, the current of that stream takes you into destruction. Okay. So now I pray, okay, with humble mind and bowed head, okay, with folded hands, okay, before the presence of God, that you do no evil. Okay. Through your prayers of faith, you are strong against this current. Okay, but when you jump into the stream and try to stand against it with your flesh, you'll be carried away, like the undertow of an ocean, okay, of the ocean wave. Now I pray to God that you do no evil, not that we should appear approved. Okay, so Paul's saying, I'm not using my stewardship as a rod, okay, to beat you into subjection, okay, but as a staff to lead you, okay. So Moses, if he would have beat the people with the rod, okay, they definitely would have fled from him, okay. But Moses took the rod, okay, which is a symbolism of a true stewardship as a shepherd, okay, to lead them, okay. So I'm not beating you with a rod, okay, in subjection, but I'm going to lead you, okay, leave you by knowledge into your deliverance, okay. So not that we should be appear approved, but that you should do that which is honest. Okay, though we be as reprobates, okay, though we be in the form of this flesh. Now Paul says, we could do nothing against the truth, okay, because this is the pattern we're using. If you're using the pattern of truth, okay, then you can't oppose it. Okay, but if you're using the pattern of your own principle, then you are in opposition to truth. You stand against it then, see? Okay, if you use the aspiration, you're standing against faith. If you use a principle, you're standing against truth. Okay, but if you're using faith, now you're standing against these powers of darkness, and they'll flee from you. But we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. Okay, we cannot oppose, okay, or deny the very tool we use for faith. Verse 9, for we are glad, okay, when we, apostles, are weak of the aspiration, and you are strong in faith. Okay, I put the words in there. For we are glad, Paul says, when we, apostles, he's talking about we, apostles, are weak, and you are strong, in verse 9 there. Okay, for we are glad, we apostles are glad, okay, when we, apostles and stewardship, are weak of the aspiration. Okay, not weak in will, but weak in aspiration. Not weak in will. Okay, because people look at the stewardship as being weak in will, okay, because of the, maybe, the slowness, okay, or the long-suffering and patience. They look at long-suffering and patience as being non-productive. Okay, but patience and long suffering are powers, okay, that are sustaining you. So when we are long, when Jesus was in the wilderness, he also exercised long suffering and patience, okay, for the conclusion of the testing. Okay. And he didn't initiate, okay, any of his divine aspirations, if you will, okay, to try to resolve the issue of his hunger, okay, or to create for himself. Okay, a five-star motel out there in the middle of the desert. He easily could have done that. He says, well, I'm God. See, I just, okay, in order to oppose Satan, okay, I'll create a five-star hotel right out here, and I'll create all my servants to serve me, and I'll create a nice, beautiful buffet, okay, and therefore, okay, I have now just completely removed myself from temptation. Okay, but he didn't do that. He stood to the temptation. Okay, he didn't try to create an environment to fight against the temptation. He, what he did is he stood against it with faith. He did that, see. And this is what Christians do the same thing. Okay, they try to create an environment, okay, whereas the temptation over here, where Satan is tempting them to use the aspiration, to diminish its appeal. You're trying to diminish the appeal of Satan, okay, by creating a larger buffet. Okay, so Satan, okay, at the time of your need, okay, as Jesus' stomach is growling, okay, and at the end of the 40 days and 40 nights, he's afterward hungered. Okay, his stomach is growling. That's when Satan came. Okay, okay, at that point of need. Okay, now Satan is offering him the option of the aspiration. Okay, I can empower the aspiration, okay, if you will do these. Okay, deliver yourself from your need. Okay, just follow my advice, Satan would say. Deliver yourself from your need. Okay, so create an environment, okay, that will equalize, okay, the need. Create an environment. This is what he was trying to do. So why don't you create a paradise for yourself? Create a five-star hotel, a buffet, and have all these servants serve you. Okay, why don't you do that? Okay, but upon Satan's advice, Jesus says, no, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall you serve. Okay, I will not use the divine powers for the purpose of achieving my aspiration, okay, but I will yield to every word of God. Okay, we live by his word. Okay, we live by his word. But a lot of Christians try to do that. They try to say, if I was thus and so, okay, then I wouldn't be tempted to sin. Okay, but then how God will reward you. In fact, when you create that environment, you are sinning against me because you're not using your faith. Okay, so that's why God put us into, see, such a negative position. Okay, because God is very, in his wisdom, he's, of course, very well aware, okay, of the conflict that he initiated within this dimension, putting Satan down here, darkness down here, death down here, and need in the body. He changed the shed of Adam's body to have need. Can you imagine that? Okay, if you had no need, that means you didn't have to eat, you didn't have to sleep, okay, you didn't have to cover yourself to keep warm, or, you know, remove clothing to keep cool. Okay, that you had a complete environmental control orb. Okay, so how could Satan tempt you? Okay, within that, okay, it'd be very difficult, you know, for Satan to tempt you in that. But then, where would God reward you in your choices? How would you be then tested and proved to be equal to himself to enter into baptism of life? See? That's why God did that. And none of us, including myself, none of us like the environment we're in. We wish we were in better circumstances. Okay, we wish things would be, okay, you could say, flow. Okay, flow to the approval and pleasure of our will. Okay, but that's not the way it is. That's not the way it is. God says, I put you there. Okay, now, believe my word. Okay, don't believe the voice of the aspiration. Believe my word. Okay.
Paul said the same thing. He says, my spirit groans.
Yeah, and travails, right. Mm-hmm. Now, for we are glad, verse 9, when we are weak, we apostles are weak with the aspiration, and you are strong in faith. And of course, all of us feel the same way. This also we wish, Paul said, even your perfection, that's in your priesthood, the perfection of your priesthood. Stay at the altar, continue to use the tools. I am with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Okay? The conflict that we live in, okay, the conflicts are numerous, okay, and there's a wide variety, okay, of conflict, okay, which has to do with our personality, or our character, our environment, our needs, and whatever it is, it's going to be there, okay. But Paul says, this is the only thing I wish: remain steadfast, remain focused, okay, because we have learned. Paul says, I have learned by experience, okay, of all the things and the situations that I was put in, whether it be in prison or shipwreck. Okay, the Lord is superior to everything. Okay, things sometimes look very life-threatening. That's like you're at the end of your rope. And God says, but then he'll lengthen it for you. Okay, he'll lengthen it for you. Where, therefore, I write these things being absent, this being present, I should use sharpness. Okay, that is concerning rebuke and reproof, according to the power or the position and authority of a stewardship, which the Lord has given to me, really to bring your edification. But my presence here is not to destroy you, and not to destruction. I'm not here to plunder your confidence. I'm here to build you up. I'm not here to plunder you. I'm here to build you up. Okay, but in order to build you up, we have to see the reality of this. Okay, the reality of this is that we're in this dimension. Okay, soon to be delivered. Okay, by the revelations which the Lord is initiating to the church. Okay, deliverance from this dimension is close at hand. The rapture. Deliverance of this of us from this dimension is close at hand. So finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. In verse 11, doesn't it sound strange? Be perfect.
Yeah.
He's talking about be perfect in faith. Okay? Because there's many discrepancies lie within our flesh. Okay? Many prejudices have been born and nurtured within our flesh. Okay? But be perfect in your faith, and the Lord will carry you. He'll carry you through through each cycle. He'll carry you through each conflict, and he'll carry you through each contradiction. None of us like the contradictions. And every one of us want to flee that. We want to flee the contradiction. We want to get out of the situation as soon as possible. Yes, that's right. You know, we all feel that way. We want to escape the conflict. But once you go from one conflict, God says, oh, no, just wait a minute there. Hey, yeah, right, you went out one door, but there's another door right here waiting for you. Okay. It's true.
Yes. As you're speaking, it's just going through my mind where we've come from and where we are. Yeah. Exactly, as you said it.
Yeah, and we're all like that. Yes. We all face it. Yeah.
Every single bit of it.
Right, and you think, right, and you try to resolve one thing, it's just seem like another step.
Yeah.
And we all feel that. Oh, you got a thought there.
Can you say something now? We were perfect in our circumstances. Satan wouldn't tempt us. Mm-hmm. I think also we won't need God. That's how the rich people never need God.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Because they can afford everything they can.
Oh,
right. The imagination keeps promising them. Right. That's the journey. Yeah, that's the journey of imagination. Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's the journey of imagination.
Right. And when you awake out of that journey, okay, it's woodshock. Because when you wake out of the journey, when you're under that hypnotic state of that journey of the imagination, okay, everything in your little world, we call it little world, our my little world, your little world, everybody's little world, okay, we seem to everything seemed to be in some way or another in flow. We are familiar with it, so we felt comfortable to a certain degree with it, right? But when we awoken out of that comatose state of the imagination, all of a sudden we realized, okay, wow, we were living a lie. Okay, we are living a lie, and it's just. It's overwhelming, and because you have to be re-educated to the living. When you're in the land of the dead, you're educated to the dead. But now you're in the land of the living, you have to be educated to the living. Okay, and that's what we're doing now. We're being educated to the living, okay, which requires faith. Okay. So finally, brethren, and the results of what God has provided for us in the record of our Lord, be perfect in your faith. Be of good comfort. Okay. I mean, stand in confidence with this knowledge, okay? And be of one mind of conscience. Be of one mind of conscience. Our conscience being pure, we're united together by faith, okay? And charity. Our conscience being pure, we're united together, okay? By faith and by charity, okay? And live in peace, okay? Because by the state of the conscience, okay, it reduces the conflict, okay? But by the state of the signature, okay, conflict emerges, okay? But through your cycles of growth, this is what you learn. Okay. So that as you continue, that's why he says to be perfect. He's telling them, says you are. He says be perfect. Okay. And today be perfect, and tomorrow be perfect. Okay. But you can't project for tomorrow today. You just you have to live within the confines of what you're in right now. And there's a Star Trek show, okay, and Deep Space called Deep Space Nine. Okay, and in that, okay, the chief officers were put within a position, okay, where they couldn't see beyond the next door. Okay, it was a hologram challenge. It was actually a game. A hologram challenge was a game. But they could not look beyond tomorrow. They had to do exactly what was told to them to do at that time. Okay. And even though it was just a Hollywood production, okay, but it was very instructive, okay, showing us, okay, concerning what our faith is. Okay, you live Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Okay, you live what the Lord gives to you today. You collect the manna today. Rest tomorrow. Okay, okay. So that's why on the seventh day, you are to rest. You're not to collect. Okay, but on the sixth day, you collect twice as much, and you rest tomorrow. Okay, so we're collecting is the sixth day, okay, which is the time of our flesh. Okay, we are laboring doubly hard, okay, so that when we exit this dimension of the sixth day and enter the seventh day of our rest, okay, our labor is then rewarded. Our labor is rewarded. Our wages are awaiting us. Our wages are awaiting us. Therefore, I write these things, he says, being absent, verse 10. Thus being present, I show you sharpness. That is according to the power and the authority of the stewardship which the Lord has given to me, to edification and not to destruction. I didn't come here to plunder. Finally, my brethren, farewell, verse 11. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. This is the things you pursue now. Okay, in the light, in the land of the living, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. So greet one another with a holy kiss, which has to do with your charity. All the saints salute you. They that are of the same mind, okay, will greet you and bond with you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, okay, the grace again, which has to do with what He issues in this revelation, and what we receive in the expression of our charity, okay, is our true communion, which we drink and eat. The communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. You got the Father, Son, Holy Ghost right there. So the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. This is the true communion. That which we drink, which we ingest, okay, has to do with the state of the conscience. The state of the conscience. See? Because when you ingested physical things of that false communion, the state of the conscience remained defiled. Okay? Because the conscience remained defiled, okay, people ate and drank to their own condemnation, not realizing it. And God judged them on those conditions. Many are weakly and sick, and many die. Okay? Because they were ingesting the wrong token. Okay? Instead of ingesting the Lord Jesus Christ and eating of His power, okay, they removed it from the invisible to the visible, which was now accursed. It was accursed of God, see?
All those which are listening today, if you like to come in covenant with God, okay, if you have to begin to seek God, you're going to have to also put aside the barriers of your former traditions and your mindset, and you're going to have to seek Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Okay, if you want to come and come with God. Okay, well, thank you for listening today, and continue to seek the Lord. His grace will abound towards those that seek Him out of a pure heart. And this is Apostle Eric von Ersick here speaking. Have a good day, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.